Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 5th of March. We haven't done an open line in ever so long, so today we thought we would do just that, the first hour of our program today. A chance for you to suggest programs, and we listen to you. You have great suggestions most of the time. No, you do, really. We take to heart many of your suggestions. So lines are open for topics that we have ignored or a certain guest on a topic that we've covered frequently and you think a new voice would give a great perspective on an important issue. Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, for you to join our conversation. Just to give you a preview of what's coming up later this week, we'll be talking about social mobility. Are young people making as much money as their parents did? And what does it mean to make more? What does social mobility mean? That's hour two of our show. Tomorrow, we love doing presidential hours. How much do you know about Calvin Coolidge? Our guest will say that our ignorance of Calvin Coolidge hurts more than our understanding of his presidency, that we need to understand his era and our past. So Calvin Coolidge, the author of Calvin Coolidge, which has been getting rave reviews, plowed into it last night, and it's very interesting. So the author, Amity Schles, will be with us tomorrow at 10. We, as you just heard on the news, the stocks are up sharply. We're going to be looking at the stock market and the widening gap between the rich and the poor with one of our favorite people who covers the economy and has done so all over the world. David K. Johnston will be joining us at 9 o'clock on Thursday to talk about taxes and corporate profits. And Thursday at 10, James Hansen, climate scientist, director of NASA's Institute for Space Studies. He will be in Milwaukee for a sustainability summit, and he will be with us on Thursday at 10. So some good shows coming up, and I fully anticipate this hour to be interesting. 800-486-8655 is our number, and let's start our calls with Eugene in Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
With the mining bill probably going through the legislature and the tribes up north, I was wondering if there's been any other mining adjacent to Indian reservations in various parts of the United States, and if so, what impact the tribes have had on those mining situations.
Okay, we really haven't covered that much on this show. I know Joy has covered the mining bill frequently, but now that it will be happening, it would be a good show for us to do at some point, too. So, good idea, Eugene.
Okay, thanks much.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Joy and At Issue have both covered mining, but we can look at it. No reason we can't, so we will. Connie is next in Arcadia. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I'm not sure if these books are or these people are apropos to your show, but I just read a wonderfully interesting article about a guy named Rupert Sheldrake. Had heard that name before. He's a botanist, and he's written some interesting things about what he calls morphic resonance. Here's a quote, a paragraph. More than 80% of people have had the experience of thinking about someone who then calls them. That's not paranormal at all. It's normal in the sense that it happens every day. As I say, he's a scientist and talks about this stuff from a scientific point of view, and I found it just wonderfully fascinating.
So did that happen to you? Did somebody you were thinking about call you?
You know, I think it has, but I can't remember any particular. I know my dad had a good friend, and he would always know when John was going to visit, and likewise John would know when my dad was planning to visit, and so I, you know, kind of secondhand have had that kind of heard about it.
Right.
And he sounds like you know, the topic is controversial, but he sounds like a legitimate scientist. He teaches at some university or another.
All right, Rupert, how do you spell his name? S H E L D I C K.
Yeah.
Okay.
D-R-A-K, yeah.
All right.
Just like it sounds.
All right. Thank you, Connie.
And thank you.
Connie, I knew you were going to call. No, I'm just
you.
Kidding. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Our number is 800-486-8655. Chris in Prairie du Chien, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering if you could have a program on discrimination against the unemployed.
What kind of discrimination, Chris?
It's a process some employers use. If you've been out of work for more than 6 months, your application's automatically thrown out, and the use of explicit advertisement, you know, basically saying if you haven't worked in the last 6 months, don't even bother.
Mm-hmm.
And so the EEOC could talk on it.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. We've done a lot of shows on the economy, but I don't know if we've devoted a complete hour to the unemployed, which is a good idea.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
Bye. Hugh in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. By the way, I think your previous caller on the unemployed discrimination, I think that's a very good idea. I do hope you find something there. My suggestion is Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee, who has come up with a couple of advertisements, which are terrific on explaining why people should have a right to have guns. It is a constitutional right. But we've had so much propaganda from the president and the left and even the police chief here in Milwaukee against guns. And to me, it's so necessary. I think I put on your website, talking 1 year ago to a guy from Philadelphia, Mississippi, a white guy who had been in the Progressive Party in 48, which is the left-wing party. And after the murder of three civil rights workers there, and he got a call. They said, yeah, you know, we just killed three of those so-and-sos, and you're going to be number four. And eventually the feds sent down one of the federal marshals to help him. And when somebody drove up to his place and he didn't recognize him, Buford was his name, got out with his gun and, you know, who the hell are you, and all that kind of stuff. And the guy said, oh, don't shoot. I'm a federal marshal. I'm here to protect you. And Buford said, well, where's your weapons? He said, well, I don't have any, you know. He said, get out of here. I'm having enough trouble protecting myself. You get out of here. Anybody from the South who knows that what happens when the police or the sheriff refuses to protect you, you realize you need weapons yourself.
All right, Hugh. We will have calls. Actually, we've talked about having maybe doing half hour with Sheriff David Clark and Milwaukee Police Chief Flynn. So that's on our radar and will be an interesting show, I'm sure. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kathy in Oshkosh. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Pitts and Mike Nichols, both of whom are syndicated, have addressed this problem about false accusations on the internet. Our own family has suffered through this because one person was falsely accused, had to go to court, was exonerated, but these false accusations appear to be picked up by the media, and they are spread all over, while this victim can be exonerated in the courts. The courts apparently are not doing anything to try to prosecute the accusers, and yet these accusations gain ground rather than the responsibility of that same media to apologize and set the record straight.
All right, Kathy. So do you know when Leonard Pitts wrote the column?
It was within the last week, and
okay.
Then Mike Nichols was syndicated through a Minneapolis
mm-hmm.
Newspaper, I would say 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
On a Sunday.
We'll track that down. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Bye. Diana in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I was calling, and I would like to see you do a show on United States of Alec.
Okay.
Moyer and Company had a show on that probably 2 to 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a speaker there. You could probably find out who the name of that person.
Okay. All right, Diana. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Open line is what we're doing. We haven't done one in a long time, so give us your suggestions. What would be compelling conversation between the hours of 9 and 11? Buck in Madison. Hi.
Hi. Another Alec matter, but in this case concerning mining and the mining bill. So Alec's horse holders have passed this bill against everyone's wishes. The only defense we've got left to protect our landscape are the Indians. The nations have treaties and federal standing. So could you have some representatives of the nations, the Anishinaabe and such, come on and talk about how they react and what their plans are and where we can send money to help pay for legal fees?
All right, Buck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Steve in La Crosse, hi.
Hi. I really appreciated your conversation with Nancy Pearl yesterday.
Oh, thanks. She's wonderful.
And
yeah.
Wondered if you could do a similar thing sometime when there's a school holiday or during the summer so that kids could participate.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, very much for the call. Nancy was with us yesterday. For those of you who missed that particular show, we got oodles of suggestions from listeners who are put comments on our Facebook page, and there were so many books announced. We're going to put together a list, but it will take some time to listen to the show and come up with a list of all of the books. We had our conversation center on books that you should read with your children, so it was a rip-roaring great hour. Lots of suggestions that will take you through your child's whole childhood, actually. So we'll have a list on our Facebook page, we hope, by the end of the week. Thanks, Steve. It's a good idea. We'll do that when everybody is available to listen. Kathy in rural Wisconsin, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I would love to see you do a program on the law that Scott Sutter wrote. I think it's Act 169. And it's pitting dogs on wolves. And they want to start training them this March, this month, where they'll be taking their dogs and going to the into the woods and finding wolves that are breeding and having babies right now. And they'll be they'll train their dogs to kill the pups. That's what will happen. And then starting October, they will start with their radar collars going through the woods and hunting wolves with dogs, which is nothing but legalized dog fighting. Wolves do not climb trees, and it's just a very sadistic, repulsive thing that's going on. I was just down at the DNR board meeting last Tuesday, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. Scott Sutter from Abbotsford, Wisconsin, wrote the bill, and it's all kind of like legislation run because of hunting clubs like the Hunting Rights Coalition and Safari International are backing all of this, but the Wisconsin people do not know this is about to happen. There's going to be a conservation meeting throughout the state on April 8th, and if you don't like it, you need to go to that meeting. Only hunters know about the meeting, and go there and vote no on it.
All right, Kathy, thank you. This is another issue that other shows have covered. We have not, but we will take a look at the issue, and thank you very much for your call. Open line is what we're doing for this particular hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and we have two lines open right now, so take them. We'll continue our calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, new research shows that many Americans are earning more than their parents, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're moving up the economic ladder. Our guest is Gregory Clark, professor of economics at UC Davis, and he is the author of A Farewell to Alms, A Brief Economic History of the World. We'll talk about social mobility, hour two of our show. This hour, open line. Give us suggestions for great shows. 800-486-8655 is our number. Jim, hi.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I don't listen 24/7, but I listen a lot, and I cannot recall ever hearing Scott Walker on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I know that he is on Milwaukee stations weekly, and sometimes I believe in back-to-back days. It seems to me that he would be someone that public radio ought to be having on, and I'm not quite exactly sure why he isn't.
He has been on Joy's show, Jim, several occasions, so he does appear there. We used to have, and I think that we still do, actually, a standing invitation for whoever the sitting governor is to do an hour once a week, and I know that there are... Lee Sherman Dreyfus availed himself of that all the time, and I think it's a great idea for the governor to be on, you know, once a week, whatever format, his show, her show, whatever. But he probably, people at the station would like to have him on more often, but he has been on.
I understand that. I think he ought to be on more, and quite frankly, I think a lot of the topics I would love to hear that either he's contributed or he would not return the phone calls or his staff wouldn't, etc., because I think he's ignoring half of the population in this state.
All right,
that's my soapbox, and I appreciate it.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Lori in St. Francis, hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion is that I would love to hear some younger people come on. My suggestion is that you contact some high schools, ask them to submit topics they would like to discuss, and after you review that topic and you feel it's appropriate, invite them in to talk about it.
All right. Is there a certain topic you want young people to talk about?
No, I think it should be up to them.
I see.
There are leaders of the future, and I'd sure like to hear from them.
All right. Thank you, Lori. As an old high school teacher, I'm with you. I love hearing from high school students. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye. Greg in Lombard. Hi.
Morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Greg.
Thank you for a great program. I have one suggestion for you, if I may, for a program.
Sure.
It's an author. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's written like 9 books. His latest book that I'm aware of is The End of Growth,
mm-hmm.
subtitled Adapting to Our New Economic Reality. The author's name is Richard Heinberg, and if I could just give you a thumbnail, his thesis is the last 5 years of slow growth and no growth is just a portent of what's coming in the future, and we should start adapting as a country and as a world to the fact that the days of 8% GDP growth are over.
All right. It sounds right up our alley, Greg.
Yeah, I would love to hear him. I've never heard him talk. I don't know if he does that, but I would love. I've got the book. I've read it. It's a great book.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll follow through. Thanks very much. Dorothy in Wausau. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering, it's come to my attention that there are quite a number of communes still operating in the United States and throughout the world. And I was wondering what they're doing and how they operate and just what's going on with that.
You ready to join?
I want to run away.
Did you ever live on one, Dorothy?
What's that?
Did you ever live on one?
No, but it would. I think it's something that might suit me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of an old hippie, so yeah. I don't know what they do with old people on communes, you know. I mean, I'm 56, so I just wondered what, you know, I mean, I've noticed that some of them have, you know, little mini industries, like produce nut butters and other products from their land, and just would like to know, like, how they get along. They have common property, that's the premise, and... I was surprised to see that there were as many of them as there are.
All right. It's really an unusual topic for us, and I will look into it. If you hear of anything and you're searching, let us know.
Well, thank you, dear.
And then we hope to change your life, Dorothy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Find unusual ways people are living, wouldn't it? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Carol in Madison. Hi.
Hi, good morning. How are all of you today?
Well, good. How are you, Carol?
Oh, I'm doing just great. I'm one of those crazy people who loves the snow.
Well, that's all right. It's not crazy. It's fine.
Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I don't know if it would be a complete hour topic, but there's sometimes there are phrases that are unknowingly inappropriate, and I'm going to voice the one phrase that, as Peter Griffith on Family Guy says, grinds my gears. And that phrase is rule of thumb. And I believe that the vast majority of people do not realize what that stems from. And what it stems from is when it was legal for men to beat their wives with sticks or rods that could not be any thicker than the man's thumb.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so whenever I especially hear it spoken on NPR, as I did the last time was last Friday during the National Morning News at 8:45, I just cringe. And like I said, I know the vast majority of people do not realize the meaning of it, but if you could at all, please refrain. I mean, it would be so easy to say, well, usually what is done, or, you know, something like that.
Right. All right, Carol. Thanks very much. We obviously can't do a talk show on this, and this hour is for getting suggestions for programs, but we could certainly do, which would be very interesting, a program on how certain phrases came, what their historical origins might be. So that would be interesting. Thank you. Thanks, Carol, for your call. Let's go to Judy in Glidden. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I, too, would like to hear a program about this big, mysterious group called ALEC. I believe it's spelled A-L-E-C. And to my knowledge, it stands for American Legislative Educational Corps. And supposedly they write these legislative bills and then hand them over to our legislative representatives. And it seems to be a mysterious group, and I'd sure like to find out more about it.
All right. Second suggestion for that. Thank you, Judy, for your call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Colleen in Darlington. Hi.
Hi. I would like to have a duo show on whether we have a surplus in Wisconsin or not.
All right.
Scott Walker seems to be totting that around, and I think he's shuffling funds.
All right, surplus. All right, thank you, Colleen, for your call. John in Somerset, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, hi, John.
This is John, yes. I was wondering, I was listening to Gerald Valente last night, and he said, like, over in Europe, you know, you say Greece is toast, and you got Spain and Portugal. There's millions of people out of work, and these are depression-era numbers. And, like, all that $85 billion that the Federal Reserve printed up went to underwater banks over there. And a lot of this money that they're borrowing is next to nothing, and that's why the equities are up, and that's why the stock is up. So I was just wondering if you do a program, get him to come on and explain it to everybody what's happening.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Bye. Our phone number, in case you can't get through today, you can go to WPR.org and go to the Kathleen Dunn Show page, fill out a listener suggestion form, and that way Rhonda and I will both be able to see these because I know the phone isn't available to everybody. So that's the way to go. And you don't have to just make your comments be today. You can always send us ideas for programs, and we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number for today's show, 800-486-8655. Scott in Door County. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Scott.
Yeah, well, I would like to hear a show maybe with an expert on business startups, somebody who can give advice to people who are thinking on striking out on their own. I know a lot of people who are, you know, very experienced and qualified, who in the last few years under the conditions we've been going through are either underemployed or have lost jobs. And maybe a little bit disillusioned about working for somebody else. I've heard a lot of great ideas from friends about startups, and I think a show that would, you know, maybe give the basics of what people need to know about going to a bank and writing a business plan might actually have the effect of having some new businesses open up.
All right, Scott. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Jim in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Good morning. I appreciate this opportunity. I would like to hear an economist speak about the cost-benefit analysis of all the time and resources being spent, city, county, state, on workforce development. And I'd like to know if there is a cost-benefit analysis to that. I kind of suspect there isn't. And
Hello? Jim's phone evaporated. Thank you, Jim. We got the gist of what you want to talk about. Thank you. We go to Ann in Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. First, I wanted to say I really enjoyed your interview of the man who you said hired you years ago, who was retiring.
Oh, Jack.
I can't remember his name.
Jack Lee.
Oh, it was so entertaining. He was just so, it was really a great interview.
Thanks, Ann.
I wondered if you could talk to some people who specialize in various facets of mining, because there are probably going to be a slew of lawsuits from a bunch of quarters as soon as this mining bill, ABSB1, passes, and especially some of the Indian leaders, especially from the Bad River, but maybe talk to leaders of other tribes that have fought, you know, tried to prevent other mines from being built in Wisconsin. And Al Geddix, who's a professor at UW La Crosse, has been involved, was involved in the Crandon, you know, anti-Crandon mine effort, and he could probably give you the names of some great people to talk to, and he might even be a good guest.
All right. This is something we're getting a lot of calls on mining, and it is something that we haven't done, but I can see that people want us to do this, so we will.
Yeah, and the Army Corps of Engineers, too. I mean, from technical specialists, I was at a couple of hearings. There were only a couple, but and there were geologists and hydrogeologists and, you know, people who knew how much money some of these mining magnates had contributed to politicians. It was just covered from every angle, mostly negative, but of course, you know, legislature and governor aren't paying any attention to public opinion.
Thanks, Ann, for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Warren in Madison. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Kind of a follow-up on a show you had a week or two ago about the learning differences between girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
I just read a book by Simon Baron Cohen called The Essential Difference. And he talks about the truth about the difference between the male and female brain. Really, really fascinating.
Okay. What's the name of the book?
It's called The Essential Difference.
The Essential Difference.
By Simon Baron Cohen.
Okay.
And he's also authored some books. And another topic which is of interest to me is adults with Asperger's syndrome. I think you've had Temple Grandin on.
Yes.
And she's a person that has Asperger's. And it's a relevance to me because I've just recently been diagnosed with Asperger's. And for 49 years, I've been wondering kind of what my problem is. And by reading books about the subject, it's like, by golly, that's me.
Hmm. Okay, we'll look into this. And thank you, Warren, for your call.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Steve in La Crosse, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if you could do like a program kind of talking about all the sister cities of Wisconsin. I know that La Crosse has sister cities in Germany and France and Russia, and I'm just kind of wondering if you could do a show kind of like that. It's kind of unique and to kind of learn more about what's going on in the rest of the world and how our sister cities are doing as well as ours.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy in Menominee. Hi.
Yes, good morning. I would like to hear a show on Monsanto. There are so many different aspects. One, I believe they still have two bills pending in legislation where they would never be able to be sued. One of them's attached to the farm bill. Also, there's a farmer in Indiana who purchased some seed that was, I'm going to use the word, tainted by GMO, and he is being sued by Monsanto for breach of their, they own the rights to the seeds. So there's so many things pending right now, and of course the issue of, you know, states trying to prevent GMO seeds from, well, they have to be labeled in GMO. They don't, Monsanto, for example, doesn't want to label GMO. There's just so much going on right now with our food supply.
All right. Thank you, Nancy, very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Brandon in Hudson. Hi.
Good morning. I'd like to hear a program about the family law statutes in Wisconsin. I feel that, you know, as a father of a young boy who his mother and I were not married, and I signed a recognition of parentage, and essentially all that did was put me on the hook for child support. And what happens is, you know, the father of an of a child born out of wedlock really has to fight in the court system and spend a lot of money on attorney's fees and the time involved just to be recognized as the father in the state. I just feel it's a topic that never comes up really anywhere.
All right, Brandon, thank you. Thanks for your call. Akeem in Madison, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Pretty good. First, I'd like to weigh in on the rule of thumb issue.
Well,
I understood that it's the British habit of measuring things with the things that are available, like hands measuring the size of a horse, and that's where it came from, measuring things that are, you know, usually available on the human body.
All right.
So that's what I thought about. So I would like to find out what's actually the story there. And then the other thing is I'd like a show on getting a shelter dog or getting a dog from a breeder. I feel like they're wonderful, incredible animals that are available, and they're in the shelter, and perfect dogs waiting for somebody right there.
All right, Akeem. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for the call. If I had it my way, it'd be all dogs all the time. No, just kidding. There are other things of interest, but I love dog shows. We go to Scott in La Crosse. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
First, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade here. But that rule of thumb thing earlier?
Yes. Oh, no.
I remember at some point reading or hearing that had been pretty well debunked. You know, what one of the language expert folks had gone back into history and found that really wasn't true. But that's not what I really wanted to call about.
Okay.
What I really have a suggestion for is that the earlier gentleman who called about the discrimination against the unemployed, I think you could maybe expand that program. Because what has fascinated me is of late here on a couple of national public radio shows, I've heard mention of these. Of course, everybody is being encouraged to apply online for jobs anymore, and that companies are getting software that actually goes line by line through the applications, looking for certain phrases that they would either use to discard or pass on the application before a human being even sees it.
Mm.
I think it would be fascinating to hear about those programs and how they work and what they look for and how companies tweak them. I mean, the ramifications for all kinds of sort of discriminatory practices, I think, are embedded in that one, don't
right.
you?
Yes, definitely.
Good
suggestion.
I think it's a good show all the way around.
I agree. Thanks, Scott.
Good. Thank you, as always. Bye.
Hi, Richard in Huntsley. Hello, Richard.
Yes, I would love to listen to the professionals in the conservation movement, like International Crane Foundation, the Leopold Foundation, bringing those people in and explaining their world thoughts and how they're going about helping the local community as well.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful topic for Wisconsin.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Hey. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Paul in La Crosse. Hello, Paul.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. Yes, a show would be great on funding for National Public Radio. Every morning they have on the regular show, they close with a 5-minute like market report or something like this. They got a couple different ones, but one of them was they did a whole week on the cruise industry in Florida. About how great it was. They interviewed the president, talked to travel agents. It was a commercial for the cruise industry. Went on all week. It was on National Public Radio. And then about a week and a half later, that ship fell apart out there in the Caribbean, and all those people had to be towed into Mobile, Alabama. But if you heard that report for the entire week, you would have thought everything was perfect in the cruise industry. We have no problems here. I think that somebody in public radio is making decisions to do things like this that are not critical and are not really reports. They're commercials. And I'd like to talk about that and find out if that's the way public radio is going.
I did not hear those reports, Paul, but I find it hard to believe that NPR, because it's totally against our ethical standards, would do programs that would be essentially commercials for a cruising industry. I just find that hard to believe.
Yeah, it was, but it's just like one of these, like these are people that they hire every day to come in and do these little, you know, a tech report or something else like this. And they're fun, most of them, but this one was just, I mean, it was so blatant.
Right.
And I think that it would be good to take a look at that and find out why they aired it and why they didn't stop it when they realized what they had. It would be a great show.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, for the call. I didn't hear those reports, so I'm not sure what he's referring to. But thank you, Paul. It's always good to express concerns, right? Let's pause for just one moment and return. We're doing an open line. We just do these every now and then. It's been a long time, so we're getting suggestions from you on programs you just think we need to have on the air between the hours of 9 and 11. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is our number. If you can't call today, go to the Kathleen Dunn Show part of our website, which is WPR.org, and you can fill out the listener suggestion form. And you can always leave messages on our Facebook page, too, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, new research shows that more Americans are earning more money than their parents did, but it doesn't mean that they're socially mobile. We'll talk about social mobility with Gregory Clark, professor of economics at UW, at the University of California, Davis. And it should be a fascinating conversation. And if you feel that you don't know enough about Calvin Coolidge, and the question, of course, who does know enough about him, tomorrow is your day. Amity Schlaes will be with us, and she has written a wonderful biography, really, that looks at Coolidge and his times, and the book is titled Coolidge. That's our 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Back to phone calls. Ben in Whitewater. Hi, Ben.
Hi, good morning. I have been hearing more and more about events about Thornton Wilder in Wisconsin. Apparently, it's the 75th anniversary of the first staging of Our Town.
Hmm.
And I know in Janesville on April 18th, Tappan Wilder and Penelope Niven, who is Wilder's biographer, are going to be speaking for free.
Oh, really?
At the Janesville Performing Arts Center.
Okay.
And earlier that day, they also have a luncheon up at Lake Lawn Resort, which is between Delavan and Lake Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there's also a performance with John McGivern, the kind of the new the baby boomers Garrison Keillor out of Milwaukee, is going to be performing as the stage manager in Our Town on April 21st and 22nd at the Young Auditorium in UW-Whitewater.
Okay.
I think there's more going on too. But I just had heard of those couple of events. I'm a big Wilder fan, and I'm just Googling. I think Our Voices, Our Town is the website that has information on all the different Wilder events that will be going on in April in Wisconsin.
Wonderful. Our Voices, Our Town?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you have anything more, send it our way, because that sounds great.
Okay, I definitely will. Thanks.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
Paul is next. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Kathleen. I had a suggestion, or actually an offering some reference for the woman who was calling in about the GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a documentary that was done on, it was called King Corn.
Yes.
And they actually went into quite a bit about the Monsantos, and it was about two guys who bought an acre of land and were going to grow a crop of corn. But there's a good place for a reference there, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It's very good.
Isn't it pretty? Mm-hmm. It's pretty intense. So mm-hmm. how they talk about the scrubbing of the ground of the corn and how they can't actually do that. And it's pretty interesting.
It is indeed. Thank you, Paul.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too. Eric in North Prairie. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. We had just been informed that our son may have a Marfan syndrome, and it is a connective tissue disorder. Mm-hmm. He has, like, long fingers, long toes, very flexible, hyperextends, like, parts of his, like, his knee and joints, and it also can affect the heart. So we're at the early stages of it, so a show on it would be great, you know?
How old is he, Eric?
He's 16 years old. Last year he had his knee goes, like, backwards. We were down at Children's Hospital for that. So if he was laying flat on the floor, his heel would probably be up maybe a inch or two. And from photos that we saw down there, it could be even more, you know. Mm-hmm. But that didn't, we don't know if that has anything to do with the Marfan syndrome. Like I said, it also, I know, can affect the heart and things like that. There has been other known people that have it that I saw online. I can't think of the actor's name. He was in Ghost. He was the guy that taught Patrick Swayze to kick the can in the subway. He was someone that lived with it. Mm-hmm. Years ago, it affected people where they would not live very long.
Right.
But it's different now from what I've gathered. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it's something that we're just starting out on. And from what I saw on the internet last week when I was looking, 1 in 5,000 possibly get it.
Mm-hmm.
And from the doctor that I saw online from Children's Hospital's little brief video, they're seeing about 500 cases a year. So it's something that's starting to really be taken notice of and stuff
right.
like that. And he has a lot, my son has a lot of pain from this, with what's going on.
Right.
You know, and he had a growing spurt like everybody, but it's his, right now he's got scoliosis of the back.
Mm.
And, you know, and that's all, you know, you can see it in different ways, you know, signs that are showing
right.
it. So,
all right. Well, thank you.
Like I said, we're at the beginning of it.
Right. All right. Well, thank you for the suggestion, and we'll see if we can do a program maybe on unusual illnesses, go a little bit beyond Marfan syndrome, and we wish you all the best, Eric. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Open line, 800-486-8655. Jerry in Menasha. Hi.
Hi. I would like to see representatives from each of the minor political parties that have been on our ballots of late. I noticed here in Wisconsin we had, I imagine, for president in the last election, there were, I think, four or five others from minor political parties. I like to see those representatives on public radio explaining what their party really stands for and what their goals are.
All right, Jerry. Thanks. Joanne Jackson-Port. Hi.
Hi. I wish I could give all the details, but this Alex thing is fascinating because I do know that it's a group throughout the that affects everything in the United States, but they raise money and pour it into conservative political campaigns. And I did read that a lot of it did come into Wisconsin. So it's something to really find out more about.
All right. Another request for a show on Alec. We're hearing you. We're hearing you. Thank you for the call. Jack in Green Bay. Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. There's a lot of stuff going on nowadays with the United States Postal Service. I myself am a carrier, and I think it'd be great. I know you have representation usually for both sides. If you're able to get somebody, a designee from the union and maybe a designee from the Postal Service management side, and really put the facts out there as to what is going to happen in the very near future. And I don't think the majority of Americans truly understand what's going to happen and the effects of losing a day of delivery or not losing a day of delivery. So I'd love to see that.
All right, Jack. Carry on, Jack. Thanks very much for your call. Thank you. Al in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you guys could do a program on sugar, diabetes, and what's it costing the healthcare system, and the sugar lobby things along that line.
The sugar lobby is what you're looking for?
No. Sugar and what diabetes and what's it costing the healthcare system. Anything to do with sugar and what's it costing the healthcare system and how much the sugar lobby has to do with, like, food stamps and things like that.
Okay. Thank you, Al. Thanks for the call. Michael in Waukesha. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Michael.
Oh, first of all, I love you and I love your show.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm 67 years old, and I've been auditing a lot of classes since I've retired. Now, when I went through school, and a lot of people I know younger than me, failing was always 69. Was failing 69 when you went through school?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, grade school, high school, college, to master's degrees. Well, now failing is 49.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just saying, if we're supposed to be upgrading our educational system, how can we be upgrading our educational system when we're making it easier to get these passing grades?
Okay.
And this is even at the university level. I don't know who you would have on to talk about the system, but I think we're watering down our grading system. If it had been that way when I was in school, I would have graduated minor cum laude instead of cum laude from college.
Okay. So
like
we're looking
at UW-Waukesha, uh-huh. Cardinal Stritch University are some places that I've gone to. And it isn't in all schools. I think it is in MPS. But more and more schools are failing is now 59 instead of 59. And I think that's just going the wrong direction.
Great inflation. I'm sure we can find somebody on that.
Okay, thank you,
Michael.
Thank you so much.
Sure, thanks.
And you are just the best.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Katrina in Grand Chute. Hi, Katrina.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am very interested in the Mexican migration into this country, and I know I shouldn't be fearful, but when I hear talk of La Rosa, a political party that wants to take back some of the Southwest and make it into the United States of Mexico, I don't know if it's rumor or if there is any basis in it.
Where are you hearing this, Katrina?
I don't know. I have become a person that I listen to the BBC at night.
Right.
And I because our regular cable news tells us very little about what is going on around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we are a nation of immigrants, and we should be thankful that people still want to come here. Well,
all right. Thank you, Katrina, very much for the call. We're pretty on top of the news, but I must admit that I'm not really aware of this movement, so if somebody wants to inform us, we'll be happy to get the information, but I'm just unaware of this. But thank you. Thank you for your call. We go to Carl, and we're almost out of time. Carl from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I hate to ask you to do this, Kathleen. I'm sort of in the same boat as Katrina there. I have insomnia quite frequently, at least for a couple hours a night, and I listen to the BBC.
Uh-huh.
And they do a wonderful job of covering world events, but there's one thing that just keeps on eluding me, and I have to admit I'm a bit lazy on this, but I mean, I've tried to Google this and try to get
make it
into
quick,
it,
Carl. We're almost out of time.
What?
We make it quick. We're almost out of time.
Oh yeah. Okay. The Democratic Republic of Congo has got a civil war going on with people from Rwanda and Uganda.
All right. And on that note, I must say goodbye to you. But we got the we're in that part of the world. We're with you. And thank you, Carl, for the call. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls on this open line. We will follow through. If you couldn't get through or if you didn't have a phone, go to WPR.org, to our page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and fill out a suggestion form. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program. We have another hour to go. Stay with us.